Good morning, and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have another amazing show for you today. Yesterday's show was so interesting, we had to bring one of the guests back for more. So before we bring on this guest, guess what? I want you to do what I always ask you to do, and that's to wake a friend. That's right. It's 8 o'clock here in California. Someone somewhere asleep trying to enjoy their rest. We're not having any of that. I want you to call them, text them, tweet them, show up in their room, knock on their door, whatever it is that you have to do to get them here to the show this morning, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. And while you're sharing the show, I'm going to introduce our first guest, but I have to warn you, I don't know what this guy is going to say. Okay, so let me introduce the CEO and founder of ringboost.com, and he's also a nonconformist. So I don't know if he's going to play by the rules. Good morning, Mr. Paul Falk. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Thanks for having me back. One quick correction so I don't lose my job. I'm the president and co-founder. I have a CEO. He sits in the other room. He gets really mad. So president, I make up lots of different titles. CMH, Chief of Make It Happen. So I'm based in New York, everybody. I have a company called Ring Boost, and what we specialize in is providing phone numbers to business owners, memorable phone numbers that they use in their marketing, local and toll-free and tracking numbers. But that is not what defines me. That's what I do for a living, and I do it because I'm passionate about it. I love talking to business owners, entrepreneurs, and helping other people grow. But it is one small piece of what you're looking at and who I am and how I define myself. And I think it's important that we separate in life. We have a career, but that's not what defines us. What defines me is me. What defines me is that I am the most unique me there is, because there isn't another one. So I do things my way. I think that's important for everyone to remember. Don't try and fit in a square or a triangle or circle. Be your own shape.
One of the things that I found so interesting about you is you used this word several times throughout the show yesterday. You just mentioned debate, 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 debate. Like, I love to debate. But what was so interesting to me about you, Paul, was that you said that I find in all of these or many of these debates that we found more in common than we found that was different. That even though we may disagree on certain points, that there was a lot that we agree about. And so if we sit down, we have these debates and we have these conversations, we can find those commonalities. So to me, I felt like on yesterday's show that you had this over the top personality that wanted to debate, that wanted to have this conversation. But I feel like at the root is your heart that says, okay, let's get to know each other. Let's talk. Let's get past our differences. Am I reading that wrong, Paul?
No, 100%, because all of our differences are taught. Like at the end of the day, you know, when we're born, we're all the same, right? But I like to debate because I hate people who just sit in the middle and don't kind of say or do anything. So I like to debate because I want to understand what you're thinking and why. Like, let's get to the extreme of the argument just so we understand. But now when we actually sit down and we get off of our social media soapbox, we get off of the need to win or be right. I find that in almost every single case, we agree on more than we disagree on. We want the same things. We might have a different perspective on how to get there, only because I come to it with these eyes, these shoes, and my life experiences. But I spent my younger life having to be right or having to win or having to, and that's all about my ego and my need to protect myself. But once we kind of just, you take anybody on the farthest, I am confident that if you found an ISIS terrorist and we sat down, and I'm Jewish and an American, and we sat down, we would find that we generally agree on more things than most. The things we don't agree on are extreme, but at the end of the day, we probably both laugh. We probably both want to feed our families. We probably both want to, live a happy life. So let's focus on those things, and then we can really work on the areas where we disagree and find out if there's some common ground. But if not, we can disagree and respect each other and understand each other's perspective and not hate each other, put up a wall and say, well, we disagree, so you're bad, or you're different. You're not. You just think something different because of your, doesn't mean I'm right or you're right. So I've found that, I think that takes a little bit of, you know, age and wisdom, maturity, getting knocked down, getting picked, and meeting like a really diverse group of people. You can't be afraid to meet people who are totally not thinking what you think. That's where growth is.
That's wonderful. Now, you mentioned that when you were younger, you had more ego in your youth. Was there a particular incident, story, relationship that affected you that made you look at the world different?
Yes, 100%. I joined a, I don't know what you can call one of these mastermind groups. It happens to be called BYLR. Like, I live it. Here's BY, which is build your life resume, not your paper resume, not your jobs and what you did. It's build your life resume. And it's run by a very successful entrepreneur named Jesse Itzler, who's married to Sarah Blakely from Spanx. And it wasn't only the lessons I've learned about how to live life differently and be different, but it was, I surrounded myself with a group of people that were all trying to live better. They weren't all corporate titans. They weren't all ultra marathoners. They weren't all the most successful people. People came with baggage, but it was a group of people that all wanted to live and be better. And it just reframed my thinking. And I started paying more attention to it. And I realized that a lot of it just came down to ego and, you know, competition and fear of being, and I realized that I'm not competing with you or you or you. I'm not competing with anybody. I'm competing to be the best person I can be. I want to be challenged by people. I don't want to be jealous of others. I am an unbelievable badass in my own right. I am just as badass as any celebrity, any rich entrepreneur that you know, any athlete. I'm in my own way. I'm not competing with them. I am just as cool, just as important. So it just sort of clicked for me. And I kept telling people, oh, man, I wish I found this when I was in my 20s and 30s. Mom, my life would have been so much better. And the answer is no, I wasn't ready to find it. It found me, and I found it when I was willing to be open to it and kind of change perspective. And it finds you at different times. And if it finds you when you're 18, awesome. Explore it. Found me when I was 48, 47. And it's changed my entire perspective on how I live, how I run my business, how I value my time, the people I interact with. It's changed everything. You know, when people say, how you doing? My answer is I'm always good. I'm always good. Like, we're good. Look, I'm sitting here with four people having a chat. I'm not serving in combat. I had food in the fridge this morning. I've got my health. There's people who have it a lot worse than me. So stop. Focus on the goodness and what you're grateful for. And that just changed my entire vision of the world and humans. So I love it. I wish everyone could like drink the Kool-Aid I've had.
Well, you keep bringing the Kool-Aid, Paul. We gonna keep drinking it. You see what I'm saying? You gotta love this guy. Like, there's just something about him that is just so lovable. Now,
doing, not talking, doing. Go do
that's
it.
That's right. That's right. That's what we doing. Now, you made a statement yesterday that I heard, but I didn't. But I didn't have time to touch on, because we were going in so many different directions. It was fun. It was interesting. But you discussed your views on the $600, but the response was, we went in a different direction.
Right.
You want to share that, Paul?
Well, yeah. And I don't have all the facts, but I have talked to business owners and friends of mine that have said, hey, look, do I think the whole COVID response over length of time, there were some overreactions? Yes, but I 100% agree with what we did in the beginning. Nobody knew what this beast was. And we sort of reacted, which was great. But now we're learning more. And from what I understand, there's a couple of points I'd like to make. What I understand is there are people that are getting this COVID bump or whatever you call it. And I have friends of mine who are having a hard time getting people to come back to work because there are people making more money by being on unemployment than going back to their job. And I think we have to end that. If we want to have a talk about minimum wage and different conversation, but I think people need to take responsibility for themselves. Look, it also annoyed me, and I think it's unfair. Look, I pay taxes. I pay a lot of them. And I'm a businessman. We pay a lot of corporate debt. But I don't qualify when the world goes to, you know, heck in a handbasket, because I make over a certain limit. I don't qualify for financial this, financial that. We all pay the same taxes. my business hurt, but because I'm having to make a certain living, I don't, I'm not, you know, they say, well, you're good enough. Well, my lifestyle is different. But my belief is, you know, I read a quote once, and again, I'm open to all angles on it. And, you know, you go to a national park and it says, please don't feed the animals. Because if you feed them, they become dependent on handouts and they don't learn how to hunt for themselves and whatever. And so I think there's a balance point where we need to help people who are in a lot of trouble. But we also have to make sure people pull up their bootstraps and say, you know what? They stop buying stuff to impress people they don't care about. They get down. If you have to live in an apartment with, you know, four people and when it's meant for one, do it. Work your way up. And I think we need to have that debate more. Like with some of the guests yesterday, you know, spreading out income and income, it sounds pretty on paper, but who then goes and makes the income to spread out? If I'm going to make income and just spread it out to everybody, maybe I go, I'm not making any more income. Well, why should I work harder? So I could, you know, I will work harder and spread out my income for lots of people if I get a return on the back end. Like, ultimately, to have say, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, I think there's a balance point. That's all I'm saying. And do I think we have income inequality in this country? Sure. Do I think there's issues where it's ridiculous that billion-dollar corporations have their money offshore and don't pay? Sure. I don't have all the answers, but I know that we have to find that common ground. And ultimately, it's personal responsibility. It's my responsibility to get out and do what I can as best I can. So that was the point I was trying to make.
And I think you made that point very well today. We gave you a little bit more time today.
Thank you.
But you also made that point very well yesterday. We just didn't have the opportunity to get anyone's thoughts, get anyone's viewpoints, or to respond. One of the other things that I noticed, Paul, have you ever read the book or heard the story, The Emperor's New Clothes?
No.
Sue has. We'll get to Sue in a minute. David, see, they're nodding. We're sharing a little lesson with you.
I'm writing the book.
Yes, The Emperor's New Clothes. It's a story I learned.
Well, the Emperor's clothes.
Yes, his new
clothes.
Yes,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Yes.
Yes, like you, to me, are the quintessential child in that story. Everyone in the world is agreeing, like the Emperor's clothes are wonderful, his new clothes are amazing. And then Paul comes in and he's like, well, wait a minute, he's naked. Like, you don't have that fear of speaking your truth, whatever it is that you see. And I think that's very noble.
But I can't wait to hear and meet the other guests because I learned from it. Look, I started a social media debate about the whole Black Lives Matter and the protests. And a woman and I started out this far apart. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, an African-American woman who's an activist. And after each conversation, instead of holding my line, we went like this. And we went like this. And we're like this. So two people on opposite sides of a debate, you know, generally pro-police, came here. We're now Facebook friends. And I said, what could I do? She said, I'd like to invite you to an NAACP meeting to come with me. Love it. So we went from here to here by just talking and realizing that we agree. We want, you know, the way we argue isn't necessarily what we feel in our hearts. Talk, you know, and one of your guests said yesterday, we all have to change the system. No, we don't. We all have to change one person, the next person. Then this system will change. Stop trying to change the system. Change the world around you. Change the one person you meet. Every single person you walk by, every single one, say hello. When you walk by the janitor cleaning the floor, say, how are you, sir? Oh, man, hope you're having an awesome day. You don't know that one word, that one recognition, that one smile, that one I appreciate you changes the course of their whole day, which will change the course of somebody else's day. That's our responsibility. And I can say, I can't change the system. What do I know? I'm not connected. I can change individuals, period. No excuses. End of statement. Mic drop. See you guys later.
That was wonderful, Paul. Do you have a podcast, a video cast? Like, I need to tune in and learn some more. Just hear Paul's thoughts.
I'm going to start one. That's one of my goals for this year, is to start a podcast.
Okay, please do not start this podcast with and go live without letting me know, because I want to be there. I want to support you. I want to share it. I want to tell everybody this is someone that you definitely want to tune into. But another question for you, Paul, have you ever had a tarot reading?
Maybe once when I was very, very young, but I want to learn more about it because I'm a skeptic. So I want to learn more about it. So I don't go in with my skepticism. That I go in openly. Why? Do you know somebody who could tell me more about it?
I don't know someone, but our next guest is a master tarot reader, and she specializes in the law of attraction, and she is the founder of Sweet Sounds of Success. Good morning, Sue. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I am awesome. This is great.
We have a skeptic in our midst.
Awesome. That is, I love skeptics. I adore skeptics. Can I tell you a really short story about this?
It doesn't have to be that short. Not too long, but we got time. That's what we're here for, your story, Sue.
Yeah, so I was invited to do tarot readings at a birthday party, which happens every so often. And the birthday party happened to be a prestigious university's Department of Neuroscience head.
Wow.
And his buddies, right, from the Department of Neuroscience and Biology and, you know, and brain stuff. And they were a little puzzled as to why his wife had set me up to do these readings, because it's like, oh my God, you know, tarot, oh, this is a bunch of crap, in other words. And so I laid out my cards, and the birthday boy sat down and I did a reading for him. And he looked at me and he said, how did you do that? I said, you picked the cards. I interpreted them for you. You chose from cards that were upside down, the cards that you needed to hear a message from. And all I did was tell you what that message was. How did you do that? Wait a minute, John, come over here. And he dragged one of his buddies over, sat him down, and I did a reading. And this guy went, how did you do that? How do you do that? I just interpreted the cards. So what I would really love, what I was hoping to get out of that particular encounter, is that they'd take me to the university, hook me up with a bunch of, you know, brain things, and I'd find out how I did this. But so far, my theory is, and this comes from a new theory in physics that's kind of bubbling up, called the electric universe. And the electric universe says that everything is electricity. Everything is ions trading places. Electrons, positrons, neutrons, all of these things are just trading places. And everything, we talked about this a little bit before the show, right, Paul? I said, we were all each other, right? We're all connected. We are all each other. The electric universe says that there is, and even traditional physics says that there is nothing new in the universe. Energy cannot be destroyed or created. It's all the same stuff. So everybody has been parts of everybody throughout the millennia that the universe has been in existence, from the Big Bang. We share all of these particles, and from what I gather from quantum physics is the theory of resonance, where one particle, two particles that get separated still resonate with each other. And it seems to work on the macro level. So when you pick cards, Paul, if you come to me, I'll spread out cards, you pick the cards, and it's your connection with those cards, because you share, you know, electrons stuff with the cards. You also share it with me. So we all understand each other at a very, 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 very deep level. And deep is not quite the right word, but at a very, very, I'll call it quantum level, although I hate using the word quantum. Because that's not, it's a bad description. We share at that level. And all I do is, like music, math, language, I've practiced so I can interpret those signals.
I think that's very interesting. Do you have any cards handy?
No, I wasn't expecting to do that, but I can run away and grab some real fast.
Okay, we'll run away and grab some real fast, because I'm going to introduce our next guest. And we're going to learn more about him, Mr. David Mendensky. Good morning, David. How are you? You're America's newest authority for healthy, sustainable weight loss. In addition to being a retired divorce lawyer, retired divorce attorney, and international best-selling author. Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you for having me as a guest.
You are welcome. Thank you for joining us. Backstage, you were making me a little jealous. You were talking about walking to the mountains and getting out in the fresh air. And I'm like, I love Long Beach, California, but I think I need to walk on the trails with you.
That'd be great. Yeah, what happened is at age 61, 3 months, my doctor told me based on my lab results and being significantly overweight, I had a 95% chance for a heart attack. So I was a walking, ticking time bomb. He gave me two options, lose weight or find the new doctor. So with that sword hanging over my head, I decided to act and I lost 50 pounds in 4 months. And now I want to share my story and help others reduce weight so they're not at risk like I was. And also they can avoid the embarrassment and frustration. And what I've learned through all this is when I was in my 20s, 30s, and 40s, I was always fit and trim. But like most of us, life gets in the way. We have obligations for family. We have obligations for our children. And before we know it, the weight creeps up on us. It's 5 pounds here this year, next year. And we always put off until tomorrow what we can do today. And if tomorrow never comes, we never do what needs to get done. And that's where I was at. And so that's why I've learned how to lose the weight and keep it off without having to order any special products or meals or foods, without having to even follow an exercise program, and without having to count calories. It's things that we all know what to do. We just don't do it. For example, drinking more water. What I've found in research is that 75% of the US population is chronically dehydrated. And 71% of the US population is overweight. Well, there must be a correlation to that. Also, because of convenience today, we don't eat as well as we should. It's easier to go through the drive-thru, to order a pizza, to pick up a bucket of KFC than it is to prepare a meal. Yet if you take a few extra minutes, it's actually less expensive to prepare a good meal and it saves you time. If you think about how long it takes you to go through a drive-thru, and that was of course before the COVID. So that's where I want to help people have a more active life, more energy, feel better about themselves, look better.
I think that's wonderful what you're doing, because one of the things that I did is about 2 years ago, I did the keto diet. And with the keto diet, I lost about 40 pounds. After I basically finished that focus, I gained 50 pounds. So when I was reading your bio, the word sustainable stood out to me. Because I think that's what we're all looking for is, you know, I can lose weight. I can lose it for a special occasion, a wedding or whatever. But then I typically go back to my eating habits that I had in the past that brought on the weight to begin with. So how did you determine and at what point did you determine that this is sustainable weight loss?
When I lost the weight, I was on HCG, which is a hormone from pregnant women, and you inject it into your belly. It's, and you're also on 550 calories a day for 6 weeks. After that, I was on maintenance for 1,250 calories a day for another 6 weeks. People then ask me, do you recommend that type of diet? And I always say, no. The reason being is 90% of people who lose weight that way gain it all back, and then some even more. I don't like diet. I like lifestyle. And so I have six other friends that lost weight the same way I did. They all gained their weight back. I kept it off because I went back and changed my entire eating habits. I gave up the Hershey bars, the Pringles potato chips. I say no now. And then I learned in research to eat slower because I used to eat very fast. I've learned to eat smaller portions. Here's something your audience may not know is we've all been supersized as far as food portions without us realizing it. In the 1900s, the average size diameter of a dinner plate was 9 inches. Today it's 12 inches. In restaurants, serving sizes come on dishes of 13 to 15 inches in diameter. Yet in Europe, it's still 9 inches for a dinner sized plate. So little things I tell them to do is use a salad plate instead of a dinner sized plate. Also, it's not about our food, it's what they've done to our food. In the 1990s, the average grocery store had about 15,000 products on the shelf. Today, it's over 50,000. Now, I don't know about you. I haven't heard about that many new berries, fruits, nuts, or vegetables being discovered in that time period. So what it is, it's all the manufactured and processed foods, and people aren't aware of what they're actually doing to the food. And I love Darren Hardy of the compound effect, because it works both ways. You can be doing things and not realize the negative consequences till 10, 20, 30 years later. Yet you can reverse all the negative stuff if you give it time, and that's where most people fail. The other thing is, I don't like diets because diets are extreme, hard to stick to, and they're temporary, as you realize with the keto diet. That's not a lifestyle. The way I look at it is, a diet is a sprint. There's a finish line. Once you get there, you usually revert back to your old eating habits. People will lose weight for a wedding, for an anniversary, for a high school reunion, for different events. And once that event is over, they go back to eating the old fashioned way, what they're used to. I look at it as a marathon. It's a lifestyle, and there's no finish line. You just keep going. And so the way I do it is based on what people enjoy to eat. If it's healthy and good for you, keep doing it. If it's not, let's see what we can do to reduce, substitute, and then eliminate so that it becomes a new habit for you. So it's enjoyable, so you want to do it.
I love cookies and cream ice cream. That's my thing right there. Like, I love cookies and cream ice cream. I'm an ice cream person. I'm a sugar person. So I have to work on my habits and work on being a better me. David, we are going to come right back to you. I want to go back to Sue. Sue, did you grab those cards for us?
I did.
Okay, now, Sue, I'm going to tell you, we have 30 minutes left in the show. Okay. So I know that we can do something. I know we can do something really quick. I don't know if that's 3 cards or 5 cards or whatever, but we're going to see if you might be able to influence, you know, Paul a little bit. You ready, Paul?
I'm ready, but okay. I think she went off screen, got the cards, studied my website, my Facebook page.
Talk to your wife.
I went off screen. I got the cards. I have not had time to study your website, Paul.
Yes. Okay. So, Sue, this one, sometimes.
What did I do it this morning? Just so you know, I haven't looked at any of you guys this morning because I wanted to be surprised.
Wonderful. So, Sue, what we're going to do is take a couple of minutes. And I know, because you mentioned the energy, and I know I believe this to be true, that we're all energy. I believe that. So you don't have to be in person with someone to do a reading. You can do it remotely, virtually. Yes. Right. So we're going to quickly give Paul some information. Take it away.
Okay. So, Paul, the way that I work the way that seems to be most successful is if you have a particular question that I'm going to focus on, and the question can be, what's up? But if you have a specific question that you'd like to get some insight into, then I definitely can do that. And the question could be, you know, relationship, it could be work, it could be world events, although I try not to do those too much because that gets complicated. There's too much input. Wow. So what's your question, Paul?
Wow, that's a deep one for me. I have so many. Let's pick one.
Pick one for right now. You can always come back and schedule a reading with me later.
All right, let's pick one for right now. What question? Question is, am I actually fulfilling what I was destined to do, or am I going through motions because of my success? Is right. that a fair question?
That's a great question. Yeah. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I have this deck. Let's see if I can get it in front of me. It's called the Voyager deck. It's called the Tarot for the 21st Century. And it's a little bit different than your traditional tarot decks. This is actually a picture of DNA on the back of the cards. It's a photograph looking down the spiral helix of DNA. And it's to represent that connectedness between all of us. Okay, so I'm going to put the cards, I'm spreading them out on the seat next to me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my finger and I'm going to move it slowly across the cards. And you're going to say now, and I'm going to drop my finger and pick a card. And we're going to do that three times.
Okay,
so I'm going to start moving my hand now.
Now.
Okay, we're going to do it again. I'm starting to move my hand.
Now.
And we're going to do it a third time.
Now.
Okay. So the first card is going to represent where you are now. The second card is going to represent your call to action. So what it is that you're supposed to be focusing on right now. And the third is the outcome, result, or consequence of you taking that call to action. So the first card, where you are now, oh, I love this. It's called the Inventor. It's the Man of Worlds, I'm sorry, the Man of Crystals. And what it has to do with is you are, this is the dynamic man of the mind. He is, this is the guy who wants to invent things. He's got ideas. He's rolling with ideas and he's got them. And so that's where you are right now. I'm going to try to get it up to the camera. The background, the Zoom background doesn't allow for seeing the cards very well. But that's the card. Okay. Second card, your call to action. Ooh, haha, is the Moon. And the Moon is, what you want to do is you want to go deeper. The Moon is about the subconscious. The Moon is about going into the subconscious and finding those things. It's like having, you were talking about having these debates with people that you're moving together. This is about finding those places within yourself that you don't agree with. But we all have them. We all have these places within ourselves that we don't want to look at, that we don't want to, you know, we're just kind of pushing them away and going, yeah, but I'm not really that. And you want to bring those up because that's where creativity comes. So what you want to be doing is keep that inventor energy, but where it needs to come from is from way deep within. So you want to really go deep. This is, on this card, it's got a picture of the goddess Artemis, who is the goddess of the moon, Greek goddess of the moon. And part of her thing is finding that which is hidden and bringing it into the light very gently. This is not the Sun card, right? This is not about being, you know, whoa, here I am, let's go. This is about bringing things up to the light very gently and shining a very gentle light on them so that you can bring them forth and really nurture them. Does that make sense?
Somewhat. We'll talk deeper later. Well, yes. I'll hit you up later, but yes, I'm trying to absorb it.
Okay. And the final card, which is really lovely given what I just said about the Moon card, this is called the Lover's card. Now, the Lover's card is the most misnamed card in the deck. I hate that it's called the Lovers because it has nothing to do with love or romance. Zero, zip, nada. Don't let anybody tell you different. It has to do with contrast. The Lover's card is all about choice. And the choice comes from being able to discern the differences between things, right? If I give you a choice between chocolate and chocolate, is that a choice? No, But if I give you a choice between dark chocolate with almonds and milk chocolate by itself, is that now a choice?
Yes.
Right? You can discern the difference between them. And so the Lover's card is all about discerning that difference and making a choice. So what this is saying as a consequence is that you're going to have these things come up from the Moon card, and you're going to get to choose again and choose again and choose again and choose again. So there you go.
I love it. So sum it up, Sue.
Yeah. So
to answer the question.
Yes, to answer the question, yes, you are doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you need to go deeper. There's stuff you haven't done yet that needs to come up that you're kind of sitting on.
Wonderful. I think that is so wonderful. I think that was very interesting. I love the cards. I love the messages. I think that was interesting. But I do want to introduce our next guest because we're going to be running out of time. And I feel bad when I don't give all my guests the opportunity to speak. Our next guest, Mr. Frederick Amina, was illiterate as a youth, and now he's an author. So he travels around and he speaks to people about the glory of God and how he can, if he's done it for him, he can do it for you. Good morning, Frederick. How are you?
Good morning. Sorry, guys. I got the time difference mixed up over here, but I'm doing great. Hope everybody's doing well.
No need to apologize. You're here. You made it to the show, and that's the most important thing. But tell us your story. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, my name is Frederick Amina. Growing up, I was I kind of say if I was illiterate or I just wasn't mature enough. But yeah, growing up, I couldn't read or write or spell, even after I graduated from high school. But the Lord had a very unique thing for me to do in this road. So yeah, I just wrote a book 3 years ago now, about how I found my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because 5 years ago, I almost died of, it's like David, I almost died of pancreatitis 5 years ago because of alcoholism. I was an alcoholic and I was overweight.
I'll let you tell your story, Frederick. Your life. I just want to interrupt real quick, and I usually don't do this, but do you mind telling us your age?
Oh yeah, I'm 21. No, I'm 41. 41.
Okay. I was about to say, you know, because you don't. I wouldn't even thought you were 41. I thought you appeared younger. So that's why I was like, wow, to discover alcoholism and to be affected. Yeah. Okay, continue. Thank you.
Yeah. So growing up, I was illiterate, and at a very young age, I got into alcohol because growing up, my whole family was a bunch of alcoholics. Half of my family was in the church, half of my family was alcoholics. So by the time I graduated from high school, I could already drink a case of beer already. But growing up, I was an alcoholic. And then 5 years ago, I almost died of pancreatitis. I was in the hospital for about a month. And as I was looking out the window from being in my own hospital room, that's the difference when you're looking out from your own hospital room. As I was looking out the window from my own hospital room, that's when I heard a little voice in my heart say, what do I choose, life or death? And I seen my kids. For some reason, where my window was, I seen my kids walking towards the car. Someone was taking them home. I was on a feeding tube because with pancreatitis, you can't eat, you can't drink. So I went in there like 240 pounds. I came out like 168 pounds. But I'm glad I came out. But as I was looking out the window, I heard this little voice say in my heart, what do I choose, life or death? And I said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. But it took that life and death situation for me to finally quit drinking and smoking cigarettes.
And so now you're completely sober. How many years have you been sober?
I've been sober 5 years, and I wrote the book like 3 years ago.
Well, congratulations. I
wanted to share, you know, I wrote this book. I can read it, but I still can't spell. So I wrote this book using my Samsung phone to for the spelling. So that's what I tell kids nowadays. You know, there's always things around you in this world that can help, that you can utilize to help you fulfill your purpose here in this world, you know, because I still can't spell, but I use the spell check when I'll be writing, and I'll be, how do I spell this? Boom, I'll sit in my phone, and then boom, I'll start writing again. Wrote this book in 6 months through 4 surgeries. The last two chapters I wrote it, my daughter got sick. She had this thing called osteomyelitis. It's a staph infection in her bone, so she almost died. So the last two chapters I wrote, she was in the hospital for 14 days, but thank God she got out. So that's my main story now, just telling people what the good Lord did in my life and how I overcame alcoholism, illiteracy, and you know, surgeries. Just persevering. You can always, and there's always things here around in this world to help you utilize and to help you fulfill your purpose here on earth.
What made you decide to write a book?
Oh man, I was at home watching TV and I said, you know what? I can tell a better story than this, and it's real. You know, nowadays, those TV shows ain't that great. Like when I was young, probably when you guys was younger. And nowadays, it's just more of, you know, for sure. And they actually want to just, other than you watching the movies, they just want to make you just watch the actor. And that's what I see nowadays. But the funny thing is, growing up, and I never ever thought in a million years I'd be speaking throughout the world and telling people about my life. So about a year ago, I still get nervous when I talk. I can talk in front of 5 people and I can talk in front of 1,000 people. And I still get nervous, still feel like I want to throw up and get dizzy. But I was like, how can I get used to the speaking and talking in front of people? So now I've been acting here in Hawaii and on Hawaii 5-0 and Magnum PI. I've been in some that guy who just did that movie, Jojo Fisher, Jojo Rabbit, that New Zealand act stuff. He just did a movie here in Hawaii. I was in that movie.
Awesome.
So it's funny how the good Lord started taking me to on the movies too. Because I was like, how can I get used to speaking? So now I'm in front cameras and even more people. You know, I never knew there was that much people behind the scenes at on a movie set. So that's what I've been doing recently. But
I think that's wonderful. One of the things that I've learned and I've experienced, and this kind of makes things better for me when I'm speaking, I read somewhere that most people, no matter how, you know, what levels they go to, as far as speakers, they still get nervous because that nervousness means you care. You should be concerned when you don't feel nervous, when you feel arrogant, when you feel like, I got this, I don't need to worry or think or care about, you know, what's going to happen or what I'm going to say. So that nervousness is that your body telling you that this is important to me and that I care. So what is the name of your book and where can we find it?
The name of my book is called Goodness and Mercy. Goodness and mercy.
I have a quick question, if you don't mind me jumping in. I love David. You said you lost a lot of weight, Frederick. And David also is a coach. I would like to know what both David and the good Lord think about the Twinkies and cupcakes behind you.
You took my question, bro. I was going to get to that.
By the way. That's all I'm staring at is the filling in that tasty cake.
I was looking at the same thing.
I still eat it.
But I thought it was there so it would tempt you and you didn't eat it.
No. Sometimes I fall into temptation.
Paul said he gave up drinking and cigarettes. That's what he said, drinking and cigarettes. He still takes the Twinkies.
With pancreatitis, I can't eat fried foods anymore.
Okay, so don't eat the fried Twinkies.
Yeah. So I can't eat the fried Twinkies, but I'll eat the cupcakes. But that's the funny part because they're always like, Fred, now you got to give up ice cream and this, that. I said, man, I already got rid of fried chicken. I ain't giving up ice cream or any of these things. But
everything in moderation. A little bit of treats every once in a while. If you can moderate, that's my world.
That's my world. David, talk to us.
You agree, David?
Yes, exactly.
I can go have a pizza tonight if I want.
Yeah. Not every night.
David?
Yeah, that's what I tell people. I'm not a purist. I'll still have chocolate cake and pecan pie. However, what I'll do now, I'll eat a little bit. And what I used to eat in one sitting will last me 4 or 5 days now. So it's a treat. I have to avoid certain things. I have to avoid a Hershey bar. I avoid soda, Pringles, potato chips, and other things. Like an alcoholic, if I start, I won't stop. So I just don't start. And that's what I tell people. You have to make choices. You know,
well,
when sugar, Sue was talking about choices, it was resonating with me. So
sugar is such an addictive substance. I mean, sugar is just goes straight to the pleasure center in the brain. And did you know, David, that in the 1600s, sugar used to be a controlled substance?
Wow.
Yes, and also Oreo cookies are more addictive than cocaine.
Yeah.
So you have something that's legal that's more addictive than an illegal drug. And what I tell people is just because the government says it's legal doesn't mean it's safe for you. Diet soda is one of the worst things you can drink because of the aspartame in it. And one of the side effects of diet soda is weight gain. People are like, it has zero calories. How am I gaining weight because of drinking a diet soda? Well, one thing, it increases your cravings for sugar. And another thing is it deprives your body of the vitamins, minerals, and nutrients. So now your body's in starvation mode, and now it wants more because you're not giving it the right fuel, the right nourishment. And that's how I look at it, is treat your body as a machine. It's an incredible machine. Give it the right fuel. Look at yourself as a prized thoroughbred horse, you know, that gets the best of everything from trainers. You know, do a little bit of exercise, eat right, drink a lot of water, eat small portions. It's
a system, David.
The diet,
your body is a system.
It's a system where people fail on diets is, it's not that they're to blame, the diet is to blame, because it's not a method, it's not a system, it's not step by step. That's what I tell people. You didn't fail the diet failed you. It's not your fault because it's designed to fail. And also our food has been scientifically engineered and chemically enhanced to optimize our cravings for fat, salt, sugar, and texture. It's called the bliss point.
Yes, and I like the fact that you said that the diet was designed to fail. And I think that's what most people don't understand, because usually even when you take these pills, and we're not going to discuss specifically what's in the pills, but they tell you take them for at least 30 days. And most people don't have the willpower to take them for 30 days, because if they had the willpower, they would have just put the donut down to begin with. And so what they do is they order this bottle, they put it on the shelf, they take it for 2 days, 3 days maybe, and then they stop taking it. So that way they can't dispute the charge or the payment, and they can't go out and say it didn't work, because they didn't stick to it for at least 30 days anyway to see if it would have worked. So then what they do is 8 months or 2 years later, when they want to get into that little black dress or Cousin Susie's wedding, they start the process all over again with the pills. Am I imagining this, David?
That's exactly what happens is, you know, again, I accomplished in 4 months of losing 50 pounds what I could have done the previous 8 years. I just kept saying, I'll wait till Monday after the holidays, after vacation, after the company picnic. It was one excuse after the other. So it was when I was told, you're going to die, that I got serious. It was like, I'm not ready yet. My goal, and I tell people this, is to be able to climb Mount Kilimanjaro to the top of the summit at age 90, because I met the lady who did it at 89, and she set the world record for the oldest person. And I was talking to her, I said, well, I'm going to do it at age 90. And she goes, well, why then? I said, because you probably won't be around. She says, well, don't count on it. So I love that attitude.
Yeah. So, David,
you know, and that's a positive attitude. Yes.
David, could I say something about, one of the things that I tell people when people come to me for all kinds of stuff. And one of the things that I tell them is if they're trying to lose weight, they need to have the identity. They need to have, you can call it mindset, but I call it identity. Who they are is the person who can put down the pecan pie or not buy the Oreos in the first place, or, you know, go through their pantry shelves and go, that goes, that goes, that goes, that goes, because that's who they see themselves as being. And that's the thing that really, you know, that that's kind of the gap, is that they can, for a little while, like you said, Sharifa, they can take the pill for a little while, but if it's not their identity, that they are whatever their ideal weight is, whether it's 150 or, you know, 190, if that's the proper weight, they have to see themselves as being that person who does that.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I believe
the language we tell ourselves matters. Yes. So I no longer tell myself, I have to go for a run, I have to go for a walk, I have to lose weight, I have to go to the gym. It's a negative way to talk to yourself. Instead, simply change the words to, I get to get outside and have a wonderful walk. I get to go build my muscle. I get to. And when you change it, the words in your head changes the whole story. You know, what I'm most fascinated by, and I wanted to go back to it, is both Frederick and David. David, you found this when the doctor said, lose weight or die. Mm-hmm. And that was your trigger. Frederick, you were in the hospital going to die when you found Jesus. Now, I'm not a religious person. And why is it that so many people need to get to, I have, like yesterday's guest that I was on with, freaked out, lost her job, was homeless. And then why do people have to get to the edge of the abyss before either Jesus or the Lord, which I'm not there yet, or I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to change my life? Why can't we change our lives like my life, which is pretty darn happy and good right now? Why can't I have the cosmic shift? Why do I have to wait for the abyss to hear it or to find it? And that's fascinating to me.
You know, I think that's fascinating, and I definitely want to answer that, mainly because we're coming down to the last few minutes of the show. But this is my belief, and I always tell people this is just the world according to Sharifa, is I think people like yourself, Paul, whether you see it or believe it, to me, just looking at you, I feel you're a very disciplined person, that you're somebody who has the discipline, the stick-to-itiveness, the willpower to do so many different things. One of the examples that I share on this show is when I launched this show on March 30th of this year. Between March 1st and March 30th, I said, I'm going to work on me. I'm going to be on the show. And I did a 5-day juice fast. I had drank more water in my during this time than I've ever drank in my life. But I changed my mindset that this is what I wanted to do. Now, you know what happened? COVID-19 happened. And as soon as we went into quarantine, as soon as COVID-19 happened, I realized that I was an emotional eater. And so I was stressed out. I was frustrated. I had a new show. I was talking to people. I didn't know how this was going to work. And you know, all I wanted in the world, cookies and cream ice cream. Like, I didn't care about that healthy mindset. Because at that point, what I needed was to feel better. I didn't utilize my willpower to not do it excessively. And so, because when people do anything in excess, because I live by the everything in moderation as well. I love a good bottle of wine too. That's my thing. But when you go into excess, that usually leads to some death. I mean, like to some, like you're at some point, if you're in excess, you're going to die. And so at some point we have to choose whether we want to live or die, but that's typically because we've already gone into excess. That's just the world according to Sharifa. Anybody who's interested in continuing that conversation, please feel free to come back. We are down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who's watching this show live, as well as everyone who's watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance. And I'm going to start with you, Frederick, mainly because I owe you an apology. We didn't have that much time to go into what you, to who you are. But please give us a few minutes.
I just wanted to share with Paul real quick about his question. Everybody's just unique. Everybody's unique in their own way. Everybody's different. Some people is like me, hard-headed. You have to take you on your deathbed to listen. Some people, they don't have to listen. On the deathbed, they don't have to be on their deathbed to change like you. But some people, everybody's unique. Everybody's different. That's what makes this world so great. You know, everybody ain't the same. But what was the question again?
But let the audience who is watching you right now, let them know what you want them to take away from you being here with us this morning.
Oh, I don't want the audience to take away anything. I just wanted them to, whatever you want to take away with it, that's on you. And just like everybody, like what I said earlier, everybody's unique. But what I wanted to share is, you know, everybody has treasure in them, even the broken, even the illiterate, even people who got molested, you know, even people on welfare. Because I never got molested or anything, but I've been on welfare. I've been illiterate. You know? But you never know, man. Everybody has treasure in them that they can use and they can utilize here and go out. Like, I forget who was sharing that earlier. I mean, I think that was Paul, where he said, you know, you can tell somebody about your treasure and they can tell somebody about their treasure and then somebody else can tell somebody about their treasure. And it just goes right down the road that can turn this whole world into a treasure. But that's what I'm going to leave this with. Thank you so much.
That was beautiful. I felt that in my heart. I felt that in my spirit. So thank you for that. David, what do you have for us?
What I have for the audience is to not wait. The title of my new book is If Not Now, When? Reduce Weight, Create a Healthy Lifestyle. So don't wait till you're told by the doctor that you are on the verge of a heart attack or that you have type 2 diabetes or a pre-diabetic that is all reversible. So if you want to have more energy, feel better, look better, there's simple steps that you can do. It's all common sense stuff that we know what to do. We just don't do it. And I help people learn how to do the steps. So it's a blueprint for them. Very simple.
Thank you. We'll definitely look out for your book. Sue, what do you have for us?
So I would like to say that what we've been talking about today is really learning how to trust your gut. Because it's not that we didn't know, I think Paul said this, it's not that we don't know that Twinkies are bad for us. It's not that we don't know that drinking an entire case of beer in an evening is bad for us. We know this. And it's allowing that knowledge to bubble to the top. And the second part of it, ask for help. I will say that is my number one biggest stumbling block for myself and the biggest lesson that I have had to learn. Ask for help. When your gut bubbles up and says, hey, this isn't right, and you don't feel like you can handle it, ask for help.
I love it. Words to live by. And Sue, you're definitely going to have to come back because we didn't even get a chance to talk about being a profit attraction master, like in everything we talked about. That's why people have to come back, because I don't have enough time in an hour to discuss all these things. That's right. David, what do you have for us? Or just, where am I? Paul. Sorry, Paul.
Okay. Very, 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 very important. Don't take anything away from me. Take away from us. You're watching the news. You're listening and you're seeing so much divisiveness in the country. It seems like everybody's apart. If you watch this show and you paid attention, we have someone who is God-fearing. I don't know if I believe in God. We have someone who reads tarot. I'm a skeptic and don't believe it. We have African-American. You have five people from different walks of life, different backgrounds, different religions. We all had an intelligent, warm, open, awesome conversation. But if we met in another situation, it might be on opposite sides of a picket line, on opposite sides of a debate. Please, please, please remember that we are all alike. We're all humans. We all have goodness. Stop believing the media hype that we're all apart and there's so much divisiveness. Because if there's five of us, I can guarantee you if we had five more guests, it would be the same. And five more guests, it would be the same. Take that away. Cherish that. Look for the commonality and where we're just all good people. And you will find it. If you look for the differences, you'll find those too. So I think take away from us, not me.
I think that's wonderful. I just love the unity and bringing it all together. This was an amazing show. Thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who's watching it in the archives. I know it was amazing. You know it was amazing. So go ahead and share this show. And if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at asksharifah.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.